Good morning, everyone. I continue to pray for all of you, for safety, for health, and for comfort and blessing. I'm having a really difficult time not seeing all of you, not being able to gather and pray and sing and laugh together. Please pray for me, and if any of you needs anything, please let me know. If Greenwoods and your pastor can meet your need in some way, please get in touch with me or an elder. We are here for you. We love you. Just an FYI, you can call the church number, and I'll do my best to check that machine from time to time, but the quickest way to get a hold of me would be by my home number and my email. My home number is listed in the church directory, and my email is pastortripp@greenwoodschurch.com. I did have another series that I wanted to jump into, but, you know, we're all walking through unprecedented times. And we need to acknowledge this. We need to confront this and weather through this together. As we all know, the United States government declared a national emergency. The World Health Organization declared coronavirus an official global pandemic. We all know this. And all the dominoes started falling soon after. The stock market immediately plummeted. Concerts, conventions, sporting events, theaters, even Broadway are all dark now. Schools, offices, businesses, restaurants, stores, museums, and even churches now all announced that they were canceling and shutting down during this crisis. Friends, you know as well as I do, this is unprecedented in our lifetime. We've never had a crisis of this magnitude. And perhaps even more dangerous than this virus, the media reports, social media feeds, continue to add unnecessary fuel to the fire, fanning the flames of fear, which I believe is spreading faster and causing much more harm than COVID-19. Just read any current headline and you'll instantly see that panic is everywhere, including panic buying at grocery stores, hoarding of canned food and disinfectants and toilet paper. I just still don't get it. I don't understand it. Toilet paper. Well, as I've watched and read about these scenes of long lines, frantic people stocking up and hoarding, I immediately thought of Psalm 23, the first verse and the fourth verse. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. In other words, God says, I will take care of all your needs if you'll just trust me. And then verse 4, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right now, we're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And all we're hearing about is the valley of the shadow of death. Every app on my phone and tablet seems to have those big red numbers that keep climbing and climbing. So here's the question that I'm sure all of us are asking. How do we walk through the valley without fear? Well, let's think about this. We know that this virus will not last. It's a valley that we are now walking through, but we're going to walk through and come out together. And from thousands of years of history, we know that epidemics and pandemics grow and decline like bell curves. They start and seemingly explode, rapidly springing up. And then they spike exponentially, but they inevitably peak and then decline. And that's what we're continuing to hear about week after week, right? Flatten the curve. Health officials are constantly talking about lowering that peak of outbreaks by taking some common sense steps to contain, to reduce, and even try and prevent the spread of new infections. Through simple, practical steps such as quarantining those who have the virus, self-quarantining those who might have it, protecting the most vulnerable by all of us isolating ourselves from contact with them, washing your hands as often as you can, and avoiding places where we might have physical contact with strangers, wearing masks when we head out to buy groceries and supplies. I know it's weird, it's strange, but I'm doing this every time I go out to the gas station, to Dunkin' Donuts, to Stop and Shop. Anywhere I go where there's anyone else, I'm wearing a mask and I have my hand sanitizer. These are all good, logical suggestions, and we all need to be doing all these things. You know, just because the church doors are closed doesn't mean church is canceled, friends. Amen? Church is never canceled. Because you are the church. I am the church. We are the church, together. Worship is never delayed or postponed. It's definitely never canceled, amen? Worship is continual, it's constant, and should always be growing in each and every one of us, yes? You know, the elders and I are constantly figuring out new ways for us to be the church, innovative ways to help each other in our church family, and creative ways that we can help our communities around us. And that's what we're going to do together as we walk through this series. But for today, I just want to focus on strengthening our confidence, securing God's peace within each of us. Specifically, I want us to learn how to replace fear with facts, with faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, he's talking about how he handled unexpected problems. And he says this, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in God's comfort." Immediately, right off the bat, three phrases jump out at me, just right away, and I wonder if you see them as well. Our hope is firm because we know. I love that. Our hope is firm because we know. What we know is what gets us through. What we know gives us hope and gets us through whatever crisis we may face. So all I want to do in this first message is remind us of some of the things we already know. Maybe we've forgotten some of these things in the noise of the news and the slosh of social media and the percussive panic and the frantic frenzy constantly flung at us. Friends, we need to remember these things because they will give us confidence. They've given me confidence. They'll give you confidence. They'll give us all courage and calm that we need for the days ahead. The Bible constantly emphasizes that we, God's people, are to get the facts before we ever make any major decision or take any action in life. So here are some facts to remember. Number one, remember that not everything I hear is true. I need to remind myself of this too. That should calm us down a little bit instantly, yes? Listen to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The gullible believe anything they're told, but the prudent sift and weigh every word. The truth is, not everyone who speaks on the internet or social media or even on TV or radio or podcasts knows what they're talking about. And I think we can all agree with this, yes? Not everyone who's talking about this crisis is, frankly, worth listening to. So as your pastor, I'm telling you, please be selective. And I'm going to take my own advice on this too. Be selective. Many people in this crisis, and particularly in the days ahead, will in fact have their own agenda for this crisis. In fact, probably many people even right now are attempting to use this crisis for their own personal and political gain on both sides, on any side, on every side. How can we recognize this? Well, you'll know that this is happening when they use conspiracy theories or when they spend a lot of their time blaming. Friends, trying to assign blame is worthless. It's a waste of time. It doesn't help. It's not solving anything. It divides when we should all be globally coming together and working together. So just ignore them. Don't tune in. Tune out. You know, there'll be others who try to use this crisis for a financial advantage, unfortunately. So we'll see price gouging. You know, I read about some guy in Texas hoarding hand sanitizer and selling just one 4-ounce bottle for $100. That's price gouging. It's shameful. there will be people who will try to take advantage of others, particularly the elderly, unfortunately. My family, I'm mourning each of us right now. As your pastor who loves you, do not fall for any solution online. Ignore them, all of them, please. Because if there is a solution, when there's a vaccine or even a cure, the government and the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, will make sure everyone knows. Those are the people we need to be listening to. Scripture says in Proverbs 13:16, the prudent always act out of knowledge. In other words, there's no place for fear. We do not act out of our feelings. We act out of knowledge. Scripture repeatedly tells us, especially in a crisis, to always base our decisions and our actions on the facts. The Bible has a lot to say about facts. We learned in a previous series that our feelings are highly unreliable, and fear never helps us get to the facts. Listen to what God says about this in Proverbs 18, verse 13. This is the Living Bible translation. What a shame. Yes, it is a folly to decide before knowing the facts. Listen to Proverbs 18:2. A foolish person doesn't care about the facts. All he wants to do is yell. Isn't that what's going on in the headlines and the news and social media even right now? Chaos and cacophony because everyone is just yelling. The Bible says they're all foolish. Here's another proverb. Proverb 14, verse 8. The wise man looks ahead. The foolish person attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. And how about Proverbs 23:23? Get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to good sense. So what the Bible is saying is that people who trust God, people who are followers and disciples of Jesus, should not just be people of faith. We should be people of facts. Here's the second point. Remember that this will pass. Scripture says this over and over and over. This didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It's not going to last. We're going to get through this together as a church family. You're not going to be alone. We're never alone because we have God and we have each other. Amen? But we need to be prudent. We need to have faith, get the facts, and listen to the professionals. We need to do the things that the specialists, the doctors, tell us to do. They told us not to gather at all. So that's why we're doing church online, not out of fear or panic, but out of faith and trust in God, getting the facts and acting wisely. By doing this, we're also setting a powerful example to everyone around us. If we continue to recklessly gather, what would that say about us as Christ followers? What would that say about concern for our neighbor, right? We need to listen to what the CDC specialists and doctors tell us to do. I love 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked when you go through painful trials and fiery tests in life. Jesus himself tells us that in this world we will have tribulation, we will have trouble. And Peter is telling us, don't be surprised, don't be shocked about this. You know, many are asking, why is there illness in the world? Well, not that it's a simple answer, but since evil and sin entered the world, nothing works perfectly anymore. Everything on this planet is broken. The weather is broken. The economy is broken. Our plans are broken. Nothing works perfectly in anyone's life. Our bodies are broken. They don't work perfectly. Why? Because sin broke everything in this world. We rebelled against God. Listen to Isaiah 24, verses 5 and 19. The earth suffers for the sins of its people. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated his laws, and broken his covenant. Therefore, the earth has broken down and utterly collapsed. Everything is broken, collapsed, confused. Even nature is groaning. We know this. We know that the environment is groaning. So what do we say when people ask us, well, why did God allow sin and evil? The answer is because God allows free choice, free will. You know, if God were to eliminate all sin and all evil on earth, he'd have to get rid of all of us. Because by our free choice, by our free will, we allowed sin into the world. And sin has interfered with and corrupted the perfect world that God set in motion, the ecosystems, the viral and bacterial systems, which are actually healthy for the planet, healthy for the world. The ocean currents and the air streams were all meant to function perfectly with our stewardship. But our sin nature has infected and disrupted everything. We gave the devil a foothold into the world, and his deceitful nature, plus our naive nature to easily give in to him, equals a shattered, broken, off-kilter world. But thankfully, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4, for our temporary and momentary troubles will not last, hallelujah, but they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we focus not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now this verse gives us the third truth. Remember to focus on what is unchanging. Remember in the days ahead during this crisis to focus your life not on what's changing, but on what is unchanging. We know that there are going to be a lot of changes in the days ahead. Remember all the changes that happened after Hurricane Katrina. How about all the changes that happened after 9/11? There will be changes that happen in the world, in every country, all around the world. The key to stability is to focus on God's unchangeable truth when everything around us is up in the air. Focus on what never changes, what hasn't ever changed in the days ahead, and I guarantee that that will give you a stable and firm foundation. Need some help remembering some unchanging truths? That's okay. I do too. Here's one. God sees and knows everything I'm going through. Focus on that. Here's another one. God cares about everything I'm going through. He always has. That's never changed. God sees and he cares. How about this one? God has the power to change what I'm going through. He has the power to answer prayers. Those are unchangeable. Need another one? So do I. God always acts out of his goodness to me. That will never, ever change. Here's an important one. God's plan is always better than my plan. I may not see it, but I know it. God will never stop loving me. That's never going to change. And finally, I cannot lose my salvation once I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, "For I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed under him against that day." Friends, these are unchangeable things that we need to focus on. We need to remember. Amen? Back to our points here. Next one, remember that no matter what I go through, God is going through it with me. What a comfort that is. Every stage, every crisis, no matter what we go through, God is going to go through it with us. We are never, ever alone. God is with you. God is with me. Praise God. God is with each and every one of us. Listen to Isaiah chapter 43. "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you." This is what we need to be focusing on. Amen? Tune out the frantic pundits and tune into our loving, sovereign Father in heaven. Make a point of replacing panic with prayer. Replace your worry with worship. You know what God will do? He will replace your anxiety with adoration, affection, and affirmation. Here's the next point. Remember that this is not the end of the story. Praise God. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. We often suffer, but we're never completely crushed. And even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again because we know who raised the Lord back to life. We just celebrated this last week, friends. Easter. He is risen. Paul continues on, and just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and will bring us into his presence together. Hallelujah. We win in the end, friends. No matter what happens, we can't lose. Praise God. Do you all remember that show from several years ago, 24? Man, I loved that show. For those of you who don't know or don't remember, Jack Bauer was a government agent who every season found himself in crazy, ridiculous global threat situations. The reason it was called 24 was because, supposedly, events in the series occur in real time. So each season was 24 episodes representing one full day, and each episode represented 1 hour of that day. Tough show to watch throughout the season because every episode ended with a cliffhanger. And I don't think I'm exaggerating, but every other episode you would seem to be asking, is this where Jack Bauer finally bites it, finally dies? You know, it was about this time when Micheline and I got TiVo. Do you all remember that? The first DVR? Where pause live television, rewind, or save for later. So what we would do is we'd record the show on our TiVo and then wait like 6 weeks at a time before we watch 24 and then just blast through those 6 episodes, thus saving ourselves from too many cliffhangers. And the bonus was we could also fast forward through the commercials. I'm not a fan of commercials. So, at least for those 6 episodes, we had pretty firm hope that Jack Bauer was alive, right? If it looked as if this was the end of the line for Jack at episode 3, well, we knew for at least the next 3 episodes that we had on our TiVo, Jack probably survived because they were waiting there to be watched. So, here's my point. To live with hope in the middle of a crisis like the coronavirus, we've got to change our focus. We've got to shift our perspective. We need to live in light of eternity. Do you know what I mean? It's maintaining a godly perspective. We've talked about this many times before. What's going on now is certainly not the end of the story. Because God promises, and we have faith and know, that there are more episodes in God's story. Amen? We know that one day all of our pain, all of our sickness, all of our sorrow and sadness, all of life's stresses, all of our grief is going to end forever. We're guaranteed a happy ending. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's no cliffhangers, friends. We have the whole story right now, the Bible. Yes, events are occurring in real time and they're scary right now, but we can jump to the end and know for certain that heaven wins, and we win because of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Here we go. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, and no more mourning, and no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things will pass away. This virus, friends, and this isolation is not the end of this story. Don't forget this. Okay, moving on. Remember that God wants to use me to help others. This is a big one. God doesn't want to just take you through this crisis. God doesn't just want to protect you or me from this crisis. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use all of us through this crisis. Do you get what I mean? This is the difference between how God's people and everyone else handle pain. We Christ followers see this situation as an open door, right? Every need in our world is an open door. Every pain, every hurt, habit, hang-up is an open door to find that need and fill it, to find that hurt and heal it. Historically, Christians have always moved into the pain when everyone else seemed to move out. For example, thousands of years ago, the Antonine Plague, also known as the Plague of Galen, named after a Roman physician, ran quickly through the Roman Empire from 165 to 180 AD. Well, it's now known that Roman troops returning home from lengthy campaigns in the Near East somehow brought the virus back with them. And it very quickly became a global pandemic. But at that time, almost 2,000 years ago, no one knew the cause of it. And they certainly didn't know nearly as much as we know now about viruses and bacteria back then. Almost everyone began to flee the cities, thinking that maybe the cities were somehow causing the plague. But what did the Christians do? They actually moved into the cities to take care of the sick. And that's how the Roman Empire began to be converted to Christianity. Now, everyone looked at these persecuted Christians now putting their lives at risk, even for those who were persecuting them. One Stoic philosopher wrote, "See how these Christians love others." And it's in that catastrophic epidemic that we, the church, invented the hospital. The hospital wasn't invented by the government. It was invented by the church. Why do you think the symbol for hospitals and medical centers is a red cross? Because there would be no hospitals without the church. Jesus gave us a preaching, teaching, and a healing faith. Amen? He cares about the mind, the body, and the soul. Friends, God calls us not to be foolish, not to be brash, but to respond in love and wisdom and to care for people and to care for the most vulnerable. You know, I am just astounded. I'm flabbergasted that I continue to read about churches in the South continuing to gather. And it's the pastors who seem to be commanding the people to gather. Shame on them. I'm serious. God has entrusted us pastors with the care of the congregation, with the care of people. And when we have doctors, specialists, our government, and the CDC strongly advising everyone to stay home and isolate, that includes pastors. I pray that every single one of you would have the courage and boldness to speak up to me and tell me no. If I, your pastor, insisted we continue to gather at church or anything else that's reckless and would endanger any one of us, why? Because I would be putting all of you at risk. I would be carelessly, recklessly endangering not only all of you, but my family, all of our friends, and the community around us, the region. I would be guilty of continuing the rapid spread of this virus. We have to remember the isolation, social distancing, washing hands, even quarantining are safety measures to try and stop the virus from spreading. None of these measures are a guarantee that this virus won't continue to spread. We've got to remember that. Friends, God is still on his throne. Amen? He always is, always has been, and always will be on his throne. Hallelujah. So as your pastor, here are some promises I can make to each and every one of you. First, you are not alone in this crisis, because God is with us always. We will continue to face this crisis, this coronavirus, together. I promise. We need to be checking in with each other, and that's something every one of us can do. In fact, I need all of you to be checking in with each other. I'm doing my utmost, I'm doing my best to try and connect with you with emails, the website, and phone calls, but I'm really having a challenging time trying to get to everyone. And this is really hard for me, I'll be honest. You all know, I think by now, I'm such a people person, and not having that weekly rhythm of seeing all of you face to face is really driving me crazy. It's affecting my sleep, my anxiety, and it's something that I'm just addressing with God really on an hourly basis. Now, I don't say this for you to be concerned. Please don't be concerned. My point is, we are the body. We are the church. We, every single one of us, can and should be connecting with each other. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, together, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of Christ's body at Greenwoods. I'll continue to give you my email address, pastortripp@greenwoodschurch.com. And my home number is in the church directory. I'm having to remind myself to continue to check the church phone. And with homeschooling McKenna and Sayana while Micheline is teaching online dance classes, you might have to leave a message at our home number. Please don't be concerned about that. No worries. I will get back to you as soon as I'm able, I promise. I hope my emails have been uplifting and encouraging. I will continue that as well, which leads me to my next promise. I will do everything I can to keep us all spiritually healthy during this crisis. I'm continuing to post the sermons as I always have, and if you notice, I'm posting each service each week on the website as well. I'm including song links to YouTube and including prayers and responsive readings that I really hope and pray that you are all taking advantage of and finding edifying. Which brings me to the next promise. I promise that we Greenwoods will keep worshiping. I want the virtual service to be as much like church as possible. I know it's tempting to jump right to the sermon, but can I ask every single one of us to devote time to work through and sing through the prayers and songs? I'm really trying to be sensitive with the music, and hopefully there's something for everyone's taste. But work prayerfully and spiritually through the entire service experience, as a family, individually, okay? Listen to John's prayer in his third letter, chapter 1, verse 2. Dear friends, we're praying that all will be well with you and that your body will be as healthy as we know your soul is. That's my prayer for each and every one of us during this time. Isn't it amazing how scripture is always relevant to whatever we're going through? God's word is alive, breathing, healthy, and always relevant. Always. Amen. Here's my next promise. The elders and I will help you help others and share the good news with your neighbors. We are here to help you. If there are resources you need to reach others in Christ, please let us know. If there are things you would like to see on our website, please let us know. Our mission, Greenwood's mission, is what Jesus commands us to do. Love God, love others as we love ourselves. Isn't that amazing? We're always a part of God's loving plan. We should never forget that. We are always a part of God's giving plan. We're always a part of God's blessing plan. We are never left out of any of God's plans. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have an unbelievable opportunity right now to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, in our region, in our communities, even in our neighborhoods. John 13, verse 35 says, "Your love for each other will show the world that you are my disciples." So, now I need a few things from you. In order to help Greenwoods and me help you, we need each of you to provide emergency contact information. Make sure our church directory has updated and accurate information from you. Please use my email address and forward me your contact information so that we can stay in touch with you throughout this and any other crisis. You know, we give our information all the time to doctors. The police and fire departments have our contact information. Why not your church? We, Greenwoods, are here for you in the good times, the bad, and especially for the emergencies, yes? We never ever share the church directory with anyone other than you. That's our promise. Your information is sacred to you and to us, and we guard it. But shouldn't your church be able to contact you for any reason, especially during a crisis? I would encourage all of us to share and update our contact information. And As you know, without physically being able to gather, this makes offering our gifts to God a little more challenging. Thankfully, many of you are using online giving, and you are still continuing to send in your gifts. Thank you. Thank you. Just one more thing about online giving. One of the great features is having the option to set recurring giving. You can do this through your bank's website as well. Very few of us are able to be in church every Sunday, whether it's because of work or travel. The beautiful thing about recurring giving is that you choose when and how much giving continues to occur, and now you have peace of mind that you are continuing to support your church no matter where you are. Micheline and I love this feature and are using it right now. Here's what Paul says about giving in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside some of your money in proportion with your income and give it as your offering to the Lord. Now, how do you do this if you're not able to physically attend a church service? Well, you could still put God first on the first day of every week by setting up automatic giving online. You could put God first on the first day of your week. All right, let's end with one of my favorite reminders from Scripture, Romans 8:28. It's still true even today. All things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. What a wonderful reminder. Amen. Not everything's working together for everyone's good, but all things are working together for your good if you give God the pieces. So let's do that right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for every person watching this video or listening to this audio, wherever he or she may be. I ask that you give each of us your spirit of calm. Give us your peace, which is not of this world. It can't be. Your peace transcends anything we could try and understand. Give us your peace that is so unusual that there's no reason for us to have this peace because there's so much to fear in this world. But may we be a witness of your peace and calm and tranquility and joy and confidence, faith and love to the world around us. We know that the darker the night gets, the brighter the stars shine. May we be your stars, Lord. May our lives shine in the darkness. And with you, Lord Jesus, alive in us, may we outshine the darkness. May we serve those who are in pain. May you use these disturbing events in our world for your glory and the growth of your kingdom. Father, we pray right now for those who are already affected, for families and friends experiencing loss. We pray for them right now. Those who have this virus, we pray for healing in their lives. You are the divine healer. We pray for mild symptoms and quick recovery. For those, Lord, who have it but don't know they have it, we pray that it will be discovered very quickly, that they will be able to get the treatments they need. We pray for healing in their lives. Whether it's a miracle or medicine, would you heal them, Father? We know that in this world we have become more and more self-centered, self-focused, and seemingly self-dependent. And when this happens, Father, sometimes you need to shake things up a bit to get our attention. We haven't been listening. Well, you have our attention, Father. We now are forced to depend on one another, forced to have concern and love for each other, forced to serve and help each other. May Greenwood's Community Church lead by example. May we care for the unfortunate. May we protect the vulnerable. May we serve those who need it most in Jesus' name. I pray that as a result of all this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With our heads still bowed, there may be someone listening, someone who's tuned in and never stepped across that line, given your life to Christ. Friend, you don't want to go through this or any crisis without the assurance of salvation, because none of us can never know what the future holds. So just pray today. Would you just say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life and to save me. I want to know you, Lord. I want to learn to trust you. I know I can't save myself. It's impossible. So please help me in your name. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Be safe, be prudent, and know you are always blessed.